This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Lord, grant us faith, the faith that removes the mask from the world and manifest God in all things. The faith that shows us Christ where our eyes see only a poor person. That shows us the Savior where we feel only pain. Lord, grant us the faith that inspires us to undertake everything that you want without hesitation, without shame, without fear, without ever retreating. The faith that knows how to go through life with calm, peace, and profound joy, and that makes the soul completely indifferent to everything that is not you. O Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Imagine with me for a moment. We have all decided to go to Manhattan. And we are standing between two skyscrapers, between which there has been strung a tightrope wire from one skyscraper to the other. And on the ground, there is this sort of outside circus going on with like a ringleader there calling out the different acts that are going on. And each one is more amazing than the one before it. And we are all getting into this so much, and we're reaching this crescendo peak, and we are really believing in what's happening here. And finally, the hawker down there says, "And I call your attention to the skyscraper to my left, and you will notice on the edge of that wire is a man with a bicycle. How many of you believe that that man on that bicycle can safely ride that bicycle all the way across to the other side skyscraper with someone sitting on his shoulders?" And we're all so excited, and everybody says, "I believe, I believe, I believe." And then the man says, "Okay, who wants to be the first one to take that ride on the man's shoulders?" And the hands go down one by one. There is a huge difference between saying "I believe" and actually exercising our faith. And that is the point of the reading of the gospel that we have today. It's also the point of the other two readings that are assigned for us today that are in the bulletin you can take home. The first one comes from the prophet of the Old Testament, Habakkuk. And as you read through this letter, Habakkuk is to the point of despair. You can almost feel it as he talks and he says, "Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not listen? Why do you make me see wrongdoing and look at trouble? Destruction and violence are before me. The wicked surround the righteous." And he goes on and on. But then he hears God's voice. And listen to what God says back to him. "Write the vision. Make it plain on tablets so that a runner may read it. For there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end. It does not lie. It will surely come. It will not delay. Write down the vision. Make it clear so that the runner who's going to go from town to town can learn it so that he can remind everybody. Remember the covenant that God made with us. Remember in our faith we said we would remain faithful. We would not just say we believe, but we would exercise our faith. And this vision that God has for us will be fulfilled." How often in the midst of difficulties do we forget that vision that God has? that when it comes that the faith we have is meant to be exercised, we start putting our hands down. There's a letter that Paul wrote to Timothy, the second letter, that is the second reading for today. Same theme. And Paul reminds Timothy, your grandmother, Eunice, your mother, Lois, remember the faith that they showed you. Remember the faith that you yourself have had. And there's something going on in Timothy's life that he's really having a hard time hanging in there. And it might have been, as Paul alludes, that maybe he was just ashamed that there was some suffering connected with being a Christian. Maybe he was embarrassed that his leader, Paul, was in jail again. But Paul reminds him, rekindle your faith. Remember the vision. Remember what it is you are called to do and to be. And then we come to this gospel today that has, again, the same theme. If you want to understand why the apostles might say increase our faith, you have to look at the verses that come in chapter 17 right before this. Because what happens is Jesus says to his disciples that you have to watch out about giving scandal to anyone. And he says, anyone who gives scandal to one of these, it would be better if a millstone were placed around that person's neck and they were thrown into the sea and drowned. And Jesus says, so watch what you do. And he doesn't stop there. He goes on and he says, if your brother offends you, you have to forgive him. And if your brother offends you seven times in the same day, you have to forgive your brother seven times if he repents. Now, I don't know about you, but my thing with hearing Jesus say that to me is just what the disciples was. You better increase my faith, Jesus, because I don't think I can do that. But what Jesus does is he changes the whole tenor of what it's about. He changes the question. That it isn't so much a question of how much faith do we need. It's a question of what is our faith for? What's the purpose of having faith? And the whole purpose is putting it into practice. And so when he goes on and starts talking about this imagery in the parable about the slavery stuff, and by the way, Jesus isn't justifying slavery here. He acknowledges that this issue existed in the day. And in that particular day, there would be a slave or a servant who had a contract with the master that they were going to work and do certain things for a certain period of time to earn their freedom. And it was an expectation that they were going to fulfill their part of the bargain. And so there was no expectation that the master had to say thank you every time the slave did what he or she was supposed to do. Just as absurd it would be that you would then say, here, you sit at my place at the table now. And you just didn't do that. It was not part of the expectation. So Jesus is saying, the expectation for us is to do what we're called to do. To exercise our faith. To recall the vision, to recall the hope, to recall the faith. And to do what God is calling us to do. This can be a hard gospel because sometimes we read this and say, well, Jesus is telling me I should be able to move mountains if I had a little bit of faith, but that ain't happening in my life. But the point is this. It's not about our success. It's about our faithfulness. That's all God is asking us to do, is to be faithful. Success isn't ours to worry about. You know, the prayer that I shared with you as I began the sermon was written by Charles de Foucauld. He's a great saint. He started to go out to the desert and be a missionary near Algeria. And he was doing great things, and he was assassinated for what he was doing. The world would say he wasn't very successful, but he was incredibly faithful. And to this day, the two religious orders that he started are thriving, the Little Brothers and the Little Sisters. It's about our being faithful. You know, sometimes I think it's like we get this urge from exercising physically that I want to do something about. I need to lose some weight. I need to tone up. So what do? I go over to Sports Authority or somewhere and I buy a treadmill or I buy one of those spider-looking machines that does all the exercises that you could imagine. And what does it do? We put it in our garage or we put it in the exercise room that we've created, and there it sits. And it becomes a great place to dry the laundry. It has to be used. Faith is not a passive thing. It is something that needs to be exercised. And this is what Jesus is getting at here. A little bit of faith, it's like having a master key, like we have here on the campus. You know, some keys just get you in some doors, but some, if you got a master key, you can get into everything. We've all got a master key. And it'll open any door because Jesus is the one that opens the door. No matter how small, how great, how heavy, how difficult, our job is to put the key in there and let God take it from there. It's not about success. It's about faithfulness. There's a story I ran across that I think brings this sort of in a concrete way to life. There's a man who is struggling with a particular vice, and he is trying as hard as he can to stop, and he just can't do it. So he prays to God, "Will you please help me overcome this?" And so God responds, and God says, "You know, there's a huge boulder outside your yard. I want you to go out there and push against that boulder with all your might." So the man is very grateful. He gets such specific directions, so he goes to do just that. He leans up against the boulder and pushes with all his might, but the boulder does not budge. He pushes, he pushes, he pushes. That boulder won't budge. He gives up. He thinks, "I'll go home tonight. I'll be fresh in the morning and try again." Comes back in the morning, same result. He pushes. The harder he pushes, the firmer it seems to be in the ground. He gets frustrated, and finally, he gets to a point where he cries out to God, "God, I have been trying, but I just cannot move that boulder. Will you please help me to move this boulder?" And God responds, "I didn't ask you to move the boulder. I asked you to push against the boulder." And he realizes in that instance, it wasn't about the success he was going to have. It was that he was called to try with all his might to overcome his difficulty. So too it is for us. Not about success. It's about being faithful in sincere effort. Jesus addresses this today to his closest 12, his apostles. We know where they all end up, don't we? And there's a book written about them. But that book is not called The Faith of the Apostles, is it? It's called The Acts of the Apostles. Because it's all about what we do in exercising our faith, in not worrying about our success, but worrying about our faithfulness. May we continue to be God's faithful. Let's take that to our prayer.